Well, good morning again. If it's your first time here, welcome to Crossroads Church. We love worshiping God. And so we are in the middle of a series called Lies We Believe. Has anyone ever believed a lie? Last week, I went over one lie, and that was the one that Satan said. It says, you will not surely die, and the reality is every one of us, sooner or later, will take our last breath with his body. This week, I want to talk to you about the second lie called, and it's this, I know the truth. All right, have you ever been told yourself that you know the truth, but it just wasn't true? I know a father who adopted his son when he was very early age and never told the son. Young man's life, he lived it, thinking he knew the truth. And inevitably, before he takes his last breath, he'll find out one day. And folks, I'm not here to tell you whether that's right or wrong. I'm just here to tell you that that happens to all of us. Someone well-meaning keeps the truth from us, and they're telling us a lie. Matter of fact, I think that there's probably many of us who tell ourselves lies. Oh, we tell ourselves it's the truth, and we want to believe that it's the truth, but in our heart, we know it's not the truth. In our heart, we know that it's a lie. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3, where it all started. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6, and now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field and the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And now here's what he does. He starts to question God's word. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. He denies God's word. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. Now he's changed the word of God. See that progression? Questions it, denies it, and then changes it. Many of us do that in our own lives. We don't like what the Word of God says, and so we pull up a pastor, because I promise you, they're out there, and they'll tell you what you want that passage to mean. They'll tell you that that's the Old Testament, it doesn't apply anymore. They'll tell you, well, that was the Greek, you know, and in those days, it meant something different than in 2023. And I'm here to tell you that that's not God saying that. In verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, I talked about that last week, the lust of the flesh, and that it was a delight to the eyes. Now think about this. Eve lives in the Garden of Eden. Life is perfect. You talk about nirvana, they started off in nirvana. Life couldn't get any better than the life that they were experiencing. She had never had an argument with Adam. She'd never told Adam what to do. I mean, life was perfect, right?
That was the first day.
Well, all things come to an end. And so did the first day. Let me ask you this. Was there any reason that Eve should have eaten of that fruit? Were there other trees with fruit in it?
Yes.
She said it. Of all the trees we can eat, but this one we shouldn't. But then she started looking at it and she saw, you know what? Well, that looks like it's good for food. Basically, she said, I want it. And then she says that it was pleasing to the eye. Have your eyes ever been bigger than your stomach? Oh, I can't tell you how many times I went to a barbecue and my eyes were bigger than my stomach. You know, I start looking at the menu, and I mean, I want everything. And inevitably, I order everything. And then for the next 5 days, I'm eating off of everything. Because my eyes are bigger than my stomach. I think the same thing is true for us spiritually, that our eyes get bigger than our stomachs. See, I think Eve's eyes were bigger than her stomach. You know I'm not talking about her stomach, right? She thought that she deserved this fruit. What's God holding out on me? She didn't believe that in God's economy it just works. If you'll just eat of all these other trees, Eve, and leave that one alone, things are going to go pretty well for you and Adam. She didn't believe that. She started listening to the lies that the devil was telling her. And so she's wondering, what am I missing out on? I see that it looks good for food. I see that it's pleasing to the eyes. And she got caught up in the lust of the eyes. The delight to the eyes. Lust of the eyes is this, the desire to have. It could be people, possessions, or status. You see something and you want it. I want that. You see, God, he started off from the beginning talking about this. If you turn over to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17 says this. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant. Or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Now let me ask you something. What's the emphasis here? Is it the house? Is it the wife? Is it the donkey? Is it the male servant? Is it the female servant? No, what is it? It's coveting. It's desiring. It's seeing something that is not yours and saying, I want that. We are in a society where coveting is normal. You go on social media and you think, you know what? I don't want to work anymore. I want to play video games and have a million people watch me play the video games and get thousands of dollars every month for playing video games. Some of y'all kids, that's what they're aspiring to right now. Some of y'all are aspiring to something like that. But Carrie and I, we kind of set back baffled one time when we looked at the boys, because our grandsons, because they would watch someone else playing a game. I said, well, why don't you just go get the game and play it? But they enjoyed this. And then we realized, you know what, we're not any different. Because last month, I sat there and I watched this thing called the CrossFit Games. Now, why couldn't I just gone out there and done some CrossFit? No, it was a whole lot more fun watching these elite athletes go after it. But the reality is this, is just like Eve, we see things and we want it. And the problem isn't that that it's bad or it's wrong or it's evil. The problem is God said, don't do it. See, in God's economy, if we would just do what God says, it would work out. Let's switch to the other end of the Bible and go to 1 John chapter 2. It says, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. Now that's the ESV translation, and you've heard me talk about this. There is a word-for-word translations, and ESV is one of those. Then there is a thought-for-thought translation. Something like the NIV would be one of those. I want to share with you another version called The Message. Eugene Patterson, he just passed away about 5 years ago. But Eugene Patterson, this is not a word-for-word translation. It's not a thought-for-thought translation. It's a paraphrase. It's basically a glorified commentary put into the way Scripture lays out in the Bible. And so let me read to you what The Message says. 1 John 2:15. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Now, we hear those words and we're like, oh man, you know, does God really want to take the fun out of life for us? No, he doesn't. And here's what I've learned is if you'll pay attention in Scripture, every time he says don't do something, he'll tell you why. And here's the why. The love of the world squeezes out the love for the Father. See, that's why you shouldn't let other things take over your relationship with God. Do you want to have a better relationship with your wife, men? Get your relationship with God right. You want to have a better relationship with your children? Get your relationship with God right. You want to be a better employee and be the employee of the month? Get your relationship with God right. And what's amazing is those things begin to work out. It continues practically everything that goes on in the world. Now listen to this. Wanting your own way, the lust of the flesh. Wanting everything for yourself, the lust of the eyes. Wanting to appear important has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from Him. Do you realize that all of those good things that you just have to have, that if you don't get it, boy, your life is not going to be full. Your life is going to be miserable. You're not going to live up to what God had planned for you. And yet here's what he says, that if you do that, it just isolates you from him. But remember this, the world and all that it's, the wants that we have of the world is on its way out the door. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. You know, that's a word most of us don't really understand. Some of y'all thought this past summer was an eternity. About a week after those kids were out of school, the eternity began. And some of y'all were rejoicing as you sent them out to the bus or kicking them out of the car if you drove them to school. And now your vacation really begins. That's not eternity. You know, some of you are going through a season of life that's hard. And it feels like an eternity. But the truth of the matter is, it is not an eternity. This too shall pass. But one day, every one of us will take our last breath and we will enter into eternity. And the question I have, are we ready for that? Because if we are just filled with wanting the things that this world, and here in America, we are blessed that we even have the opportunity for all these things. But it's also a curse if we let that get between us and God. Because if we get our relationship with God right, He'll take care of those things. But the problem is when we start putting those things up here and God, our relationship with God down here, they're never enough. Who is our example? Our example is Jesus Christ. You go over to Luke chapter 4. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Remember this, he's in the wilderness for 40 days, and for 40 days he is being tempted. And here it now is the culminating at the end of this. And there in verse 5, and the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Think about that. Like Hollywood has nothing on the Bible. Satan, with his power, took Jesus and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Oh, I hear a lot about aliens nowadays. Now, I'm probably the closest thing to a conspiracy theorist that is out here. But here's what I'll tell you. I think that those aliens are demonic activity. And one day the truth will be revealed. And I hope it's not too late. Because some people put more faith in someone's story about an alien than they will about the most reliable book that's ever been written. But yet Satan, in his power, showed Jesus all the kingdoms. He showed him the United States of America. He showed him Great Britain. If there's going to be a world power after us, he showed them that. in a moment of time. Satan has power. Let's continue to read. And he said to him, I'll give it all the authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. Now let me ask you something. Who gave Satan the authority in this world? Adam did. This world was created for Adam and Eve. It was designed perfectly for Adam and Eve. And when they took of the fruit, when they disobeyed God, the authority that they had was given to Satan. Verse 7, if you then will worship me, it will all be yours. Oh, now see, this is where we need to follow Jesus' example. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Do you realize that Jesus quoted two Old Testament passages right there? He quoted Deuteronomy in chapter 6, and he also quoted 1 Samuel in chapter 7. Now, how could Jesus quote the Old Testament the way he did? Because he read the Old Testament. He studied the Old Testament. And here's what I'm here to tell you is that when it comes time for you to fight against the enemy, you should start the same way that Jesus started. Hey, buddy, it is written. And don't go and pull up a blog or a podcast. It is written, and open up your Bible. It is written, and start reading scripture that's relating to whatever you're concerned with. You know why we don't do that? Why we don't start with it's written and open up God's word? Because we don't like what it says. We don't want it to tell us, you know what, you don't need that. You know what, that is not what you need right now. Because we see that it's good for food. We see that it's a delight to the eyes. And we need to learn to stop believing the lies. The second part of this title of this series is Lies We Believe and the Truth That Sets Us Free. And let me tell you a little bit about some truth. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 44 says, you are of your father the devil. That's Jesus talking, and he's speaking to a bunch of church people. He's speaking to the Pharisees. He says, you are of your father the devil. What was interesting, they had just told him that, hey, we're from Abraham, and we don't believe anything you're saying. And Jesus corrects him. He says, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar. Now, there is a difference between telling a lie and being a liar. All right? I imagine all of us at some point or another in our life have told a lie. Some people in this room, some people watching online, are liars. Everything that comes out of their mouth is a lie. It's a twisting of the truth. It's a questioning of the truth. And the only place that that comes from is the father of lies, Satan, the devil. That's tough medicine, isn't it? That's hard. That Jesus came into a church, much like Crossroads Church, and those leaders didn't even recognize him as the Messiah. Matter of fact, they tried to use Abraham and what Abraham had told them and what they had passed down through their traditions against Jesus. And that the whole time Jesus is telling them what was written in the scripture. Well, let's go over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter has a wonderful passage, or a wonderful couple verses here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Now, I love that that verse starts off with but. Because if you read verses 1 through 8, he's doing what Jesus did to the Pharisees. He's telling them that you're a bunch of no good scoundrels. The people that are influencing you are a bunch of no good scoundrels. And if you believe them, then you're one of them. However, if on the other hand, you believe what we've been preaching to you, you believe the gospel, you believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he died on the cross for the sinners of the world, which one is me. Here's what he says. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. And the question is, are you here today and are you believing a lie? Are you believing a lie by someone who's telling you that God is your father and yet he is the father of lies, is the one who has convinced you? You go to church. Every once in a while, you read your Bible. You show up for a small group. You know, convince yourself that when eternity comes, you're going in the right direction. And yet, Billy Graham, America's pastor for close to 50 years, says that half the people that show up for church on Sunday mornings won't spend eternity in heaven. That scares me, church. I asked you when we started off, have you ever believed a lie? Telling yourself, I know the truth. It scares me to know that there might be someone here today that has convinced themselves that they'll spend an eternity in heaven. But they never will. Why? Because they got the wrong father. They believed a lie. That's not what we want or where we want to go. I want the but. I want the but that I am a chosen generation. I am a royal priesthood. One of the testimonies this week from young Trey, who you saw got baptized last week, when he's talking to his mom, he says, you know what, I don't want to get to the end of my life. Can you imagine a 16-year-old young man having this kind of a conversation? I don't want to get to the end of my life and hear these words, depart from me, I never knew you. Amen. And I'm here to tell you as your pastor, I don't want any of you to get to the end of your life and to hear those words, depart from me, I never knew you. You would turn over to Joshua, Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, a very popular verse, a verse that I think probably all of you have at one time or another seen on somebody's house on a plaque. Joshua 24, 15 in the ESV says, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, I just want to break this verse down for you. All right? That word there, it says, if it seems evil in your eyes, what that means there is, like we see evil, the word evil, and we start thinking some bad stuff, right? You think of someone back in seventh grade, you know, that did something mean to you. You think of one of your coworkers who's been stealing from the company. You think of, when you think of evil, you just think of dastardly. But here's what if you go to the Hebrew, the word evil means disagreeable. If it seems disagreeable to you, another Hebrew translation, if it seems unpleasing in your eyes, Miss Eve holding the fruit, it was pleasing to her eyes. What's pleasing to your eyes right now? What is it that you want because you want it? You deserve it. If it seems evil, another word is miserable. If it seems miserable to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. There's another translation out there, a version that you may not own, but I do, and it's called the RWT version. And so let me read the RWT version of Joshua 24, 15 to you, and it says this, "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of the flesh that your family has served, or the lust of the eyes in the land that you now dwell. But as for Ronnie and Carrie, we will serve the Lord." Amen. Is that the statement of your soul? Because God says, look, if it's miserable to you to serve me, if it's inconvenient to you to follow my commands, if it seems like it's impossible to do what I'm asking to live in God's economy, choose you this day. Folks, nobody will be in heaven that didn't want to be there. We only get there through our own free will. We get there by admitting that we're a sinner. We get there by recognizing that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He lived a perfect life, which we couldn't do, and he died on the cross to pay for my sins, of which are many. And that Jesus was raised from the dead by God the Father 3 days later. And then we confess that. You saw that last week. We confessed it through baptism. You'll see that again on September 10th, that we're going to confess it through baptism once more. Church, let's not miss out because of the delight of the eyes. Will you stand to your feet? I'm going to pray in just a minute. And when I finish, the worship team is going to lead us in that song, Gratitude. We sang that earlier. And here's what I would tell you is, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to be right up here in the front. I would love to talk to you. If while I've been preaching through this service, you've realized and recognized that, you know what, I need to make a decision, I would grab one of those pink cards out of the chair in front of you and fill that decision card out. I would love to sit down with you. I don't want, when you enter into eternity, you hear the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And let me tell you this, you don't have to hear those words. None of us have to hear those words. All we have to do is confess our sins and turn towards God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, you are an incredible God. You love us when we're unlovable. You tolerate us when we're intolerable. And God, when we see the fruit of the flesh and we say that we want it, instead of getting mad, instead of lightning coming down, instead of consuming us with fire, God, you let us. When we see the sin that is so juicy and it looks so nice, God, you don't wipe us out. Instead, you sent your Son. You sent Jesus Christ because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, because of what each one of us in this room today have done when we fell short of your glory. Oh, God, I thank you. I thank you that you're a merciful God. I thank you that you pursued me even when I didn't want to be pursued. God, I thank you that you let me make the decision to come to you. God, I imagine that your Holy Spirit is working in this room right now, that there are those that are struggling. Some of them, they know they're lost as a goose, and if they were to take the last breath, they would spend an eternity in hell. God, don't let them leave the room today. There are others that are wondering, am I saved? God, you have promised a no-so salvation. Lord, help them take that step of faith. Help them to ask the right questions. Help them to see your word and experience true conversion. God, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, Crossroads family. I am so excited. Guess what time it is? It's simulcast time. This coming Saturday here at Crossroads Church will be the Priscilla Schreier Going Beyond simulcast. Starts at 9 o'clock in the morning, goes till 3:30 in the afternoon, a whole day of just being with your sisters, studying God's word, praise and worship. It's going to be a wonderful time. So if you do not have a ticket yet, today is the last day that you can purchase a ticket, or you can also go online and register that way as well. Debbie Wires is going to be in the foyer after church if you would want to get your ticket, or if you need to see me, that would be great too. The other thing, if you are signed up in any way to be a volunteer that day and to help out for that day, we're going to have a very brief meeting in the gym immediately following worship today, 30 minutes or less. It's going to be short and sweet, but I want everybody that's volunteering to know what's going to happen that day, the time schedule and what's going to be going on. So we have a little snack for you prepared back there. So please plan to join us and we will all get on the same page for the day. So thank you so much. I'm so excited about next weekend and all that God is going to do here at Crossroads Church. We have ladies from several churches here in town that are going to join us. And we actually have women from other towns and even other states that are going to join us. So I'm very excited. All right. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Oh, that was a little dry for me. Good afternoon. I said that was too dry for me. One more time. Good afternoon. Oh, good afternoon. Was that a word? I said, was that a word? Oh, that was a little light. Was that a word? Come on. He spoke fire into us, and that's what we need. I won't be before you long, man, just thinking about what he was saying and just to reflect back of what the question I've asked last week, you know, what has the enemy tempted you with? Man, I mean, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he doesn't care what he has to do to get to you, okay? He will lie, he will deceive, he will stab you in the back, but as long as we are equipped with the word of God, oh man, like the scripture said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My grandmother started us at an early age getting into the church. A lot of the young people I see now, but just knowing of the roots of what God has placed in my life over the years, or just knowing the scripture and just knowing what God has placed for me. Powerful things. I just thank God for everybody that he's placed in my life because they've created me and helped me be the young man I am today and just know who God is for myself. The Bible says study to show yourself approved. And my auntie, she would drill it into us. Know the word, because you don't know who's the person that the enemy has sent to stab you in the back. It can be your best friend. And you over Kiki and ha-ha, and they over here talking about you to Jimmy and Bobby. Like, boy, did you see Daniel today? He just was all dressed up. You know what I'm saying? No, I don't know what God has for you, but just root yourself into the word. Root yourself and just be steadfast and mindful that the enemy is out to destroy every Christian. He's out to tear us down. He's out to stop what God has for his people. And only we can push that mission forward. Only we can do what we need to do, because that's what God called us to do. He called you to be a prophet or whatever, an evangelist, a missionary. He called you, each and every one of y'all, individually. You have your own calling. You have your own way. I know my way is to sing and to minister. How God wants me to minister, but just be steadfast and be in the word. The only announcement that I'm going to go over this week, guys, is Friends and Family Day, Sunday the 10th, September the 10th. Please bring your friends, family. Let's pack the church. Let's show out and show up. And then also for the youth praise team, if you would like to do that, meet with me after church, please. And we will go from there. Let's stand as we get ready to exit this house today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be able to come in and see this house one more time, Father God, to be able to fellowship with everybody that you have placed into our lives, Father God. We thank you as we get ready to exit your house, Father God. I ask that you watch over each and every one of us as we get ready to go about the week, Father God, as we get ready to go back to work, as the children get ready to go back to school, Father God. I don't know what battles anybody's facing, but you do, Father God. They've spoken to you about it, and I ask that you just touch each and every person in this building today, Father God, and heal them. As we get ready to go, all we say is amen, amen, amen. And amen.